everyone. This is David Hughes with the Marketing Group at Worldwide Technology in St. Louis, welcoming you to the latest episode of our Tech 17 podcast series. I'm your host today, and I'm going to be joined by two of our experts in our business and analytics practice, Tim Brooks and Scott Herbig. So guys, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, David. Happy to be here.
All right, guys. Great to have you. So today we're going to be talking about something that I think everyone has been reading about, seeing whether you're in a work in IT or not, and that is artificial intelligence, or as it's becoming more well known as AI. So Tim and Scott both work in our practice that started out as big data. And we were just talking about before we started recording that we have changed the name of the practice several times. And I just wanted to make sure we had the exact title. So it is now, guys, the Business and Analytics Advisor Practice. So with that, Tim is a global practice director specializing in analytics and AI solutions. Tim's based and calling us in from sunny Southern California today. And Scott is a technical solutions architect based out of Kansas City. So guys, before we kind of jump into it, maybe we could just take a few seconds besides pass the titles, if you could just give our listeners just a very brief idea about what your role here is at Worldwide. So Tim, maybe I'll start with you.
Sure, David, thanks. My role is really to advise our customers on data strategy, and an aspect of data strategy is AI. Essentially big data methods, infrastructures, processes, use case identification, and helping them weave those into the fabric of their organization.
Okay, great. Tim, Scott?
Hi, thanks. Yeah, so Scott Herbig, I'm a solutions architect now. I'm all kind of on the opposite side of Tim. So I am focused on infrastructure, the hardware perspective, and there's a lot of integration points between what the data scientists are doing, as well as what the infrastructure teams are doing. So my role is to try to understand how they incorporate and how they interact, any challenges, new designs, kind of moving into this new era of AI.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, guys. Well, let's jump into it. So I think, Tim, maybe I'll throw this to you first. So maybe just for our listeners, if you could kind of get from your perspective, and obviously by extension here at Worldwide, you know, the terms AI and even terms that come up a lot, like deep learning, machine learning, I think those are things that people are hearing a lot about these days. So maybe kind of can you give us kind of your perspective or kind of your definition as really to what those terms actually mean?
Sure. You know, it's important to understand that artificial intelligence has actually been around as a concept for about 70 years. Of course, due to limitations in compute and development of algorithms and other sort of models, it had a really slow traction. There was a big, you know, explosion of interest in it in the 60s after Marvin Minsky, who's one of the fathers of AI, came out with some, here's how we accomplish AI. And then it sort of went into a dormant cycle, you know, what we call, you know, maybe it was overhyped. Well, in recent years, it has really exploded and come into practice and is now part of our lives. If you think about talking to Siri or Alexa and the actions that they can execute, you think about some aspects of autonomous vehicle development that are already in place. That is all parts of artificial intelligence. If you go on to a contact center, you ask a question and a chatbot responds, increasingly, those are automated, and that's a form of AI. So what is AI? AI is essentially when a machine mimics functions that are usually exhibited by human cognition. So examples of that, AI has an aspect that perceives the environment. It can pick up sound files. It can analyze and know what certain images are, categorize them, and determine if it is for example, a dog or a muffin or a school bus, depending on the photo. AI learns, which is also what our minds do. It learns from the experience on the data. Now, it doesn't actually learn like we do. It applies statistical methods in order to come up with predictions on what something is. But it mimics the ability of the aspects of human learning. It represents knowledge, and by that I mean things like when Google finishes your search for you and comes up with what are the next words that might be coming up in your search screen. That's a form of knowledge representation where it's been indexed, cataloged, and then through natural language processing, it shows up for you. It reasons to a certain degree. So when it has to calculate which moves to make on a chessboard, or if it's playing Go, as one of the AI programs just defeated a South Korean grandmaster in the game of Go, that's reasoning. And then finally, there's an aspect of it which is decision-making. These are all parts of AI, and you can see that these are parts of what we do as humans. So machine learning is one specific aspect of AI. It's a process for training the algorithms, the models, that then give predictions about data that it has yet to observe. So it trains on a aspect of data, could be words, log data, time series data, images, and then makes predictions on what is the next piece of data I am seeing or what is the next action to perform. And then finally, deep learning, and there's a lot of interest here. Deep learning has come about and really, really grown tremendously in the last couple of years. It's a series of neural networks, and I'm not going to get into on this podcast what neural networks are, but think of them as many layers of nodes which increasingly provide abstraction and knowledge based upon massive amounts of data. So that's the difference between AI, machine learning, and deep learning. Both deep learning and machine learning are parts of artificial intelligence. They're just different techniques for arriving at the same result, and that result is how can we make better predictions that will inform our actions? How can we make better predictions within a specific sort of range that will automate a process?
Okay. Well, yeah, that's interesting to know, and I know there's a lot of, there's a lot of discussion out there about AI, and there's some fear. Actually about AI, you know, you hear about all these things, the one you hear the most about is, it's going to take people's jobs and all that. So there's probably a lot of information and a lot of stuff out there that people really don't even really know about. So it's good to get those definitions. So I know AI is, like a lot of the technology practices that I know we're involved with here at Worldwide, it's always changing. It's always evolving. So I guess specifically to talk about that, kind of what's new in the AI infrastructure marketplace? And Scott, maybe I'll start with you on this one.
Sure. So, it's interesting. Being, my background of 17 or 18 years of infrastructure, GPUs, graphic processing units, have been really out there to, for gaming and maybe accelerating video in desktops. Everybody's had these GPU technologies. Well, what I should say is NVIDIA, for instance, has been the one producing GPUs for these compute platforms. Since the rise, the resurrection of AI and machine learning, these GPUs are now being put into enterprise-capable server products, such as Dell EMC products or Cisco or HPE. What's interesting about this is that a year ago, these OEMs were not talking to us about AI. It was NVIDIA had a GPU. There weren't ready solutions. Cisco is releasing a product soon that is integrating GPUs into an enterprise server that can be managed by an enterprise architecture team. And I think the key point I want to take to get across here is that being an infrastructure guy, I don't necessarily understand what my AI teams need from me, and vice versa. So when you start putting these GPUs into server products, if you're putting them into products that you understand and you already have process and method to manage, you get one step closer to making these products real. Pure Storage recently has came out with a reference architecture that they've certified with NVIDIA. So here's the product you need to purchase. Here's a runbook to build it. Here's where it's going to benefit you. So these things have just taken place in the last year that are big. Dell EMC is working on ready infrastructures. So what's great about the Dell EMC solutions are they're capturing the GPU and the compute needs from the Dell compute stack. They're also capturing the needs as it pertains to storage. So all of these AI machine learning stacks and deep learning, they all need storage. They need fast storage. They need a lot of storage, lots of throughput on these storage. So Dell EMC is capturing both sides of it. And then looking forward, I think what we're going to be looking at is, you know, how are FPGAs going to incorporate into this world? Are they going to replace GPUs? Are they going to sit alongside and do other processing? I think that's something that we'll learn as we go. So, Tim, I know there's some software tools that are coming out around this or that are out that you guys are looking at. You want to elaborate on that a little?
Yeah, sure. So, when data scientists go about building these models, and then when these models are trained and are put into what's called inference, which means at the edge they learn based upon how they operate in the wild, in the real world, it creates a great deal of both compute cycles, and Scott's just mentioned how GPUs can help accelerate high-performance compute, but they also require the ability to manage the data, maybe back and forth between the deep learning environment and a data lake. They require multiple data scientists to collaborate. So there's been a rise in both containers and thus container management, messaging, which is the data flow or persistence of data across different environments. And there's new companies that are emerging regularly in this space. Some people have called it the Precambrian explosion of software companies in the AI space. And among them that we've run across that are performing today are companies like Blue Data and DriveScale and Bright Computing that make managing your deep learning environment or your massively scaled big data environment easier and assign both cluster management and messaging of data and essentially giving you the tool that you need to do the data science.
Okay. Thanks, Tim. So maybe in just kind of our remaining minutes here, so we've kind of talked about AI and some of the new things that are coming up in terms of infrastructure and software. But maybe if both Tim and Scott, you can tell our listeners a little bit about, you know, some of the things that we're actually doing here at Worldwide in terms of the services we're, you know, providing for our customers in terms of AI development and scaling. And also maybe, you know, if you can, talk a little bit about kind of what we're hearing from our customers in terms of, you know, some of the challenges that they're facing, maybe some of the questions that they're coming to us about to help them, you know, meet challenges in this space. So, Scott, maybe I can start with you on this one.
Sure, absolutely. So my role is as infrastructure architect, I'm, you know, as I said, I'm based in Kansas City, but I work remotely out of St. Louis. What we have is our Advanced Technology Center. So if you've listened to our podcast, you hear the ATC. The ATC is about 15,000 square feet of data center space with a lot of gear in it from all the OEMs that we've listed and probably any OEM that comes to your mind. So three data centers full of stuff, you know, that's powerful. But what really makes this powerful is that we have resources. We have resources across the globe that are dedicated to managing this environment, looking at innovation in this environment, working with customers in this environment to kind of help speed along the process when your company goes down a AI or ML path. We have a place that you can come and learn through podcasts, through workshops, through training, and then remote access into this lab where if you need a Dell EMC solution, we can have this up and running for you and you can come and test what you're trying to do, once you're trying to learn, what you're trying to accomplish. And it's not just from an infrastructure perspective. So we have operating system people expertise, and then Tim's team has a large practice of data scientists and engineers that understand the AI side of the discussion. So, Tim, any examples of what you're doing around the AI solutions on the gear in the lab?
Yeah, thanks. So right now we've got data scientists and probably 10 of them are PhD level working on a variety of different problem sets. Some of them relate to predictive maintenance and using image processing to help identify when equipment is most likely to fail at a future date and proactively taking that out for maintenance so it doesn't actually fail on the job site. That's millions of dollars of improved in operating efficiency from that manufacturing process. And so that uses image processing for predictive maintenance purposes. We've got others still that are using time series data and log data in order to get better predictions about utilities operations. And still others that use natural language processing to analyze sentiment, structured data, that's SQL data, as well as NoSQL data, and bring that forward so that there's a means of determining what we call marketing effectiveness. And that's an exciting area because everybody's got that need. And with the proliferation of social media and other sorts of unstructured data, it can be used more skillfully by people like social media managers, marketers, people that have an interest in a brand and building that brand. So those are actively ongoing right now in the ATC with our team.
Okay. Well, thanks, Tim. So great conversation, guys. And I think maybe just to wrap up, we've just got about a minute or so left. So Tim, let me throw this to you and I'll give you the last word on this. So, and I know you guys do this all the time, but if I was a CIO doesn't even have to be a major organization, what would be like a question or two that I should be asking myself if I'm trying to think about kind of where AI is, you know, either in my IT infrastructure or to just kind of, you know, sit back and think, okay, these are some considerations that I should think about in where or where not AI sits in our infrastructure.
Yeah, there's probably two that you should ask yourself, two areas if you're a CIO. And one is, you've got a lot of smart people in your organization, and their knowledge is oftentimes siloed or it exists in pockets. How could your organization marshal all of those resources, that intellectual property, that knowledge that resides within the company, to collectively make the organization smarter? What would that look like? Well, AI, a form of AI, can be applied to that. It's something called a knowledge graph. And what it does is it takes data that may reside in SQL or NoSQL or in other pockets of your company, and it surfaces it and makes it contextually relevant so that people can find the right resource, the right document, the right knowledge at the right time so they can make smarter decisions. There's other solutions along that way. Not all of them are in-house. There are some that are AI as a service, but they provide you with collectively a smarter organization. And I think everybody wants a smarter organization. And then the second part would be, if you may already have something like that in place or you want to skip to the next level, find use cases that enable artificial intelligence to augment existing things you do using data. So artificial intelligence techniques can make it go faster, can make it smarter, can refine the models, or make it perform better. But you don't have to invent new use cases for it. Take the ones that you already have and see where artificial intelligence techniques, where artificial intelligence infrastructure, some of those processes can help you perform better. So one of those is, of course, contact centers and call centers. Others are, you know, sales performance. What are the attributes within our organization of how we might be able to sell something better by engaging with our customers in a more relevant manner? Those are just two of the easier ones that we see customers executing on right now. And those are areas which you can dive into almost immediately and get results.
Okay, great. All right. Well, thanks, Tim. You know, again, guys, great conversation and discussion, and hopefully our listeners learn a little bit more about AI and even deep learning and machine learning a bit. I think there's a lot for us still to learn about those topics for sure. So again, Tim and Scott, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, guys. All right, guys. Thanks again. So to our listeners, as always, please subscribe to our Tech17 podcast channel. Our episodes usually drop on the first and third weekends of the month. You can listen to the new podcast recordings when they come out. And of course, our library of previous podcast episodes are available as well. They're available on iTunes and all podcast platforms that are available to you. And finally, if you would like some more detailed information about some of the topics that Scott and Tim talked about today, please check out the episode notes for this podcast. We will have some links in the notes, which will take you to some more detailed information and kind of a deeper dive into some of the topics that were talked about today that are available on WWT.com. And thanks again for joining us, and we will see you next time on Tech 17.